It's an Nachum Segal Network. You're listening to By the Book. Our friends at Curran Publishing present... Curran Publishers presents this broadcast for us each and every week, and we get an opportunity to speak with some amazing authors and examine some incredible books. Sherry Mandel is our guest today. Sherry Mandel and her family made headlines back in 2001 when her son Kobe and his best friend Yosef Ishran were ruthlessly murdered by terrorists in a cave. They were 13 years old. Stricken by grief, Mandel and her husband Seth established the Kobe Mandel Foundation to support bereaved children and families. Subsequently, she wrote her award-winning spiritual memoir, The Blessing of a Broken Heart. Now, after years of grappling with the pain of loss and counseling thousands of others through similar trauma, Mandel is about to release her sequel, The Road to Resilience. The Road to Resilience, From Chaos to Celebration, which will be released in the next few weeks. While psychologists usually describe resilience as bouncing back to who you were, Mandel adopts the approach of Jewish philosophers and mystics. Resilience is not an attitude, it's a process. It's not overcoming, it's becoming. We don't escape the pain, we use it to contemplate and reshape. The Road to Resilience, From Chaos to Celebration, is a hands-on guide that takes the reader through the seven spiritual steps of resilience: chaos, community, choice, creativity, commemoration, consecration, and celebration. It enables the reader to enter the darkness of loss, and even when it seems most unlikely, experience growth and revelation. Along with questions and exercises for reflection, the guidebook empowers readers to not only survive grief of all sorts, but to transform themselves and thrive in the face of loss and suffering. Practical, spiritual, insightful, and brave, The Road to Resilience will lead you to a more meaningful, exalted life. It's TobyPress.com, where you can get information. Of course, Curran Publishers has it as well. TobyPress.com, T-O-B-Y, Press.com. Sherry Mandel, welcome back to the Nachum Segal Network.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Have you gotten to the place of celebration already? Have you gone through all seven stages?
Oh, yeah. I celebrate all the time.
Does everybody...
No, we work with bereaved mothers.
Right.
Every Wednesday we have groups. And today we have mosaics. And we have a great time. We really do celebrate.
Does everybody...
But it's a process. You don't just come to celebration.
Oh, yeah. That I understand.
From chaos.
That
you have to go through a lot of steps.
That I understand. When anybody succeeds at resilience, when anybody, you know, reaches the point that you would say, hey, you know, this person's come a long way or has come as far as they're going to, whatever, however you want to put it, are they always holding on to some of that trauma of the past? It seems, from your vantage point, it seems you're saying that it's not being completely... being completely redone, it's not overcoming, it's becoming. And you use what's what's happened to you in the past to become that. Anybody who's successful at that, you believe, is able to hold on to some of that from the past and that it's necessary to do so?
Oh, yeah. You don't release the suffering, but you redeem it, I would say. So it's always part of you. The loss is always part of you. But I also want to stress that this book, it's not only for people who are grieving. It's for anybody who's going through struggle or trauma of any sort.
Right. That's what resilience is all about, right? Resilience is what you want to achieve from the smallest trauma to some, you know, very, what we would consider, you know, generally serious episodes.
I don't think it's something you achieve. That's, I think, you know, like sort of a fallacy. Because you're always working toward it. But also I talk about resilience, that it's not being impermeable and it's not being strong. Like the first step in chaos is really allowing it to break you open in a way so that you're not the same. You're not the popular conception of resilience is that you grow back to who you were.
Right.
Like resilience in English means to jump back.
Right.
And I'm saying it's not just jumping forward. It's really becoming a greater self.
Yeah, now you've hit the nail on the head in terms of my question. That you know, most people would think that the only success in all this is if you get back to where you were, if you're able to, I don't know, eliminate or learn to live with what happened. And you're saying it's much different than that.
Right. Like I had an interviewer ask me once, you know, people say when you've had a loss, you have to get back to a new normal.
Right.
And I thought, well, no, you can't go back to normal. You have to really look for extraordinary. Because when you're faced with trauma, you faced suffering, you face the knowledge of death, And so you want to live more powerfully because you realize how limited life is and that you have to hold, you have to grasp what you can while you're here. But it's more than like carpe diem. It's really taking what's hurt you and using it to help the world heal.
I assume there are good days and bad days.
I have to say, thank God, I have a lot of good days. Around the York site, it's bad. Yom HaZikaron is bad. Kobe's birthday is bad. There are some bad days, but I feel that we've taken this death and really used it to expand and grow and to help other people and to help Am Yisrael. And, you know, we miss Kobe every day. But I wouldn't say that we suffer every day.
Would
at all?
Would everyone? And I don't know if this is my business, and it's your book, not any other family members. But we're so curious. Are other family members able to achieve the resilience that you've been able to? Is this when you talk about you and what you and your family have been able to achieve and learn from this and bring to the community because of this episode? Is everybody on the same page?
You mean in my family?
Yeah.
You know, when I look at my husband, for sure, because he has definitely led us in creating the foundation and in maintaining the foundation and developing it. And, you know, we work with bereaved children. We have 300 kids at Camp Kobe every summer. We just had a Hanukkah camp. And, you know, we talk to the kids at the camp, and we see how much the camp means to them and how it changes their lives and, in a lot of cases, saves their lives. And with my own children, I mean, that's why we started the camp, because we saw how difficult it was for children. And, you know, my kids are grown now, thank God. And I think that seeing, you know, their parents I don't know if overcome is the right word, but to be able to celebrate, even in the face of such tragedy, that we've been models to them and that they've also been able to really create and celebrate.
Sherry Mandel is with us. Our son Kobe and best friend Yosef Yishron were murdered by terrorists 13 years ago. How is it when you hear about terror attacks now, whether it be today, whether it be last weekend, whether it be any time, especially now with these random attacks taking place? Do you say to yourself, oh, my gosh, I know what the family's going through? Do you feel something that others likely do not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We feel it because we know what that broken, open pain feels like. And, you know, after Kobe was killed, I thought I wouldn't survive the pain. So, and the suffering, and it went on for, oh, you know, a year that I felt like, I don't know if I can live. So when you hear in the news about a terror attack, and today, so sad, two men were killed, they were stabbed to death, or one was shot, I think, at the Jaffa Gate. Right. And it just, my heart breaks,
And you know what the family is going through. You know, it's interesting. You talk about chaos and those, you know, the initial stage, so to speak, and there's so many different stages, as you describe. I remember one of the things I remember most about our conversation after you wrote The Blessing of a Broken Heart was how certain things, even right after Kobe was killed, certain things, even the day of the funeral, sort of tossed you back into, I don't want to say reality, but maybe into, you know, the part of your life that would remain. And I think you know where I'm heading on this, that, you know, one of your kids was hungry on the way to the funeral or the way back from the funeral. And you spoke about that. That made such an impression on me.
The police brought him potato chips.
Right. Does the money
with the siren going, and he was 6 years old. And so it was an exciting event for him.
Does the mundane activity in the quick aftermath of what has happened, does that help, or you really have to pass that on to friends and neighbors because it hurts too much?
Well, it depends on each person, but after a few months, I think just like being a mother and the domestic details and taking care of children and going to work, it did help because it forced me to get out of bed and to be alive. But in the beginning, I needed a lot of help because You know, I couldn't eat. I couldn't. Well, I slept, but I didn't want to cope. And my friends took over for me. But it depends on the person.
You were surrounded by an amazing support group, right?
Yes, I live in Tocoa, and I have tremendous friends. But the whole community really helped us. They stepped in, and people from Efrat sent me Shabbos meals for 6 months, and people came and they took my kids to school, and they, they even cleaned my house for me because I wasn't functioning for a while. That's the chaos, and I think that it's good in a way to break apart when something tragic happens, because otherwise the pain will chase you your entire life if you don't give in to it.
That's part of the chaos and community, right? That's the community response to the chaos.
Exactly. You see that with the Jewish people, that it's just incredible the amount of kindness that people do for people who are hurting. And it's some Jews, like from America also, who come and help us now, help us fund the camp. And I see with the terror attacks, too, now, that the Jews from all around the world are trying to help people who are hurt and people who are suffering in this intifada.
Sherry Mandel is with us. What's the choice part of this process? What does choice mean in this process?
Well, a lot of people think that they have no choice but to feel that they're a victim and there's nothing that they can do, and that they don't believe in God because something bad happened. And the choice is to make choices and to also believe that God is in the picture and that you'll be able to survive this. But it's actually a choice you make, that you some people feel passive and that they're just acted upon. And the choice is to become an actor again and to take action in the world and to try to, I think another choice is to receive help. That's what I see a lot, that people can't receive help. They're embarrassed. They want to pretend that they're okay. And so a choice is to also let other people come in to help you.
Someone asked me when we did our Jewish Unity Initiative, someone asked me, and we went to Paris and had that incredible success, thank God. Someone asked me, what is Jewish unity? And I said, Jewish people are not going to agree on everything, and there's so many different factions. There's so much, there's so much debate and some would even say controversy, right to left, all through the spectrum. But when a Jew is hurting, the fellow Jew, no matter what type they are, has a desire to go and help them out, has a desire not to beat them when they're down, but to lift them up when they're down. And I think that's what you felt, that people just had this amazing desire to help out and to be there for you.
Right, and when you receive so much kindness the way we received it, it's as if you're filled with all those acts of kindness and you want to pass them on.
What?
Because you're kind of just like filled to capacity, so it spills out of you.
The Road to Resilience, from Chaos to Celebration. Sherry Mandel is with us. TobyPress.com has all the information. TobyPress.com. You're listening to Buy the Book, Koren Publishers, here at the Nachum Segal Network. Is some of that choice sometimes, how do I put it? Do you sometimes have to be a little bit of an actor? In other words, when it's time to choose to be happy, or time to choose to move on, or time to choose to, change your emotion, is it sometimes required to just put on a happy face and try to get through the day? Are those transition days difficult?
No, I don't agree with that. That it's not a choice to be an actor. It's a choice to be authentic and to let other people into your emotional life. And when you're real with yourself and with other people, then those emotions can pass, because not that they're fleeting, but I remember I read a study that they pass in a few minutes, the kind of sadness and the anxiety. But you have to allow them in. I think the choice is really to have the courage to be real.
Wow. And that is something, as you pointed out, with the Road to Resilience appealing to people, not just those who are, whose family has been victimized by terror. It's things that people go through on a regular daily basis, and that can help.
Right. I think that it takes a kind of courage to be yourself and to understand who you are and to share that.
Right. What is creativity, and how does that work into this whole process?
Well, I mean, God is a master of creativity, and we also, when we are struck with this kind of pain, pain is power, and the pain can destroy you, or you can use the pain to create, and everybody has some creative talents or creative vehicle, and it's like you have to translate the pain into creating or building something.
And
because
that's where the foundation and the camp and your book all came from.
Right, but we see it also with the kids at the camp. Like, the kids at the camp, naturally, they write poetry and they write songs and they build gardens and they channel the painful feelings into something positive and creative and constructive. And, you know, like, we're supposed to be... model ourselves on God, and God is the master of creativity.
At what age can they start doing that, by the way? How to be creative and to utilize that to help absorb the pain a little bit and to deal with it. I mean, is that something that a young child of 7, 8, 9 years old can do?
Well, first of all, you know, just using drawing and art and music as vehicles for, you know, therapy, not necessarily what they create, but the process,
right,
of drawing or painting or ripping paper or sculpting. It's almost like it's a natural way of healing.
Commemoration is chapter 5 in your book. Tell me what commemoration, what role it plays in this entire process.
Well, I mean, so many of the Jewish holidays are about commemorating, and commemorating is to remember, and it's also saying we're not going to repress difficult memories, and we're not going to forget, and we're going to try to find a way to remember, but not just remember as individuals, but to remember as a society as much as we can. And I think it's Rabbi Soloveitchik who talked about the fact that it's memory that creates ethics, because, for example, the Jewish religion, it's a lot of the stories are, we remember them in order so that we act ethically. Like, for example, slavery in Mitzrayim, we remember we were slaves, and so we're supposed to, you know, respect other people and try to help them and remember that we were slaves in Egypt. So that memory can be what creates ethical behavior.
Rabbi Steinsaltz said to you, when people lose somebody, most make a memorial that's dead, but a memorial has to be living. When a tree dies, if you can't make that tree grow, you need to plant another tree. How do we apply that to memorializing someone who's passed away?
Well, like, for example, some people I've heard of, they take a cake, let's say, to the cemetery. Now, if you're going to make that cake, so bring it to, you know, a place where people don't have food, or help people with make a memorial that helps people, so that the energy you invest in it is given to other people and creates more life in the world and more kindness in the world. And I think that's what he means by a living memorial.
How do people?
That it's something that sustains itself.
How do people react when they find out you're Kobe's mother? Now, all these years later.
You know, in Israel, it's I don't meet that many people either who don't know. And if they don't know, they don't remember Kobe. It's because they don't remember the story, or they were too young.
Right.
Because Kobe was killed almost 15 years ago. So that's what happens now, that they don't even know about Kobe and Yosef.
And if there's a way to categorize the pain and the memory of 15 years as opposed to the way it was a year or two afterwards, what would you say?
I'd say a year or two after I wanted to die. And now I want to, you know, I live.
And in your personal case, how long did it take to get to that point?
Well, I'd say the first year was really hell. And then it's sort of interesting, because I never heard anybody talk about this, but I feel like it goes in 7-year cycles, that, you know, the first year was terrible, and then after 7 years, not that it was terrible the whole 7 years. It got easier to carry. But after 7 years, I felt like a big difference. And then now it's been 14 years. And also something lifts. It's like the cycle of the week, the cycle of seven, I feel did something.
Wow. Unbelievable. Sherry Mendel is with us. The Road to Resilience, from Chaos to Celebration. There are a couple of steps we haven't spoken about. Consecration. What's meant by that in this book?
That's when you take what hurt you and really use it to heal the world. So, for example, with Camp Kobe, after Kobe was killed, we felt that we wanted to keep his spirit alive, and we wanted to do something that he would have liked to do, and we wanted to do something that he would enjoy. So we took the idea of camp and play and fun, and we created Camp Kobe, and it was based on all the hurt we felt over losing a child, the terrible suffering, in order to help other children. So when you create from the place where you suffered the most, then you're bringing holiness into the world based on that loss, and that's consecration.
And sorry.
To make it sacred, or in Hebrew, to make it holy.
And finally, celebration. At what point do you know that it's time to celebrate?
Well, celebration doesn't go away. It's always with you. And I think, not that there was celebration, but even during the Shiva, we were laughing sometimes over things that people said and crazy things that happened. And I think that people don't understand that even in the midst of the worst, horrible pain, it's not that all your happiness goes away. You also have happiness. But it's harder to recognize, and also it's harder to allow. But with the years, you know, the celebration becomes less conflicted, I would say. And also, even with the kids at the camp, we see they're more needy of celebration. Like our kids at Camp Kobe, I would say they're happier than the normal kid, because they know what sadness is. So that's also an element of resilience, is having the big picture. And a lot of these kids have a big picture. So they're less likely to be upset by small things, and they're more likely to understand what's important, and also to respect happiness, because when they're happy and when they feel permission to be happy, like at Camp Kobe with the other kids, then their happiness is more elevated, I would say.
Amazing. An incredible process, and to look back all these years later is just unbelievable. It's a journey, and if it's something that is earth-shattering at a moment's notice, like in your case, or anything that might be affecting somebody, big or small, the Road to Resilience can certainly be a big help. Sherry Mendel is the author of The Road to Resilience, From Chaos to Celebration, Toby Press release. How do people support the camp?
How can they donate, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, to go online at kobymandel.org, KOBYMANDELL.ORG.
And how old are the oldest?
And donate there.
How old are the oldest campers? What age groups do you attract each summer?
Well, it's not just during the summer. We have also during Hanukkah and hopefully over Pesach. So we have kids from, actually, they're supposed to be 8, but like sometimes they come as young as 6 if they have siblings at the camp. And it goes to 18, but we have kids get out of the Army to come back to camp because it's that important to them.
And the whole environment is one that just helps them heal more quickly, and helps them heal in a better fashion.
Well, they feel that they're understood, because most kids, they don't want to talk about their pain with their friends or with their family. So it's a place where they know they're understood. So they may not even talk about what happened, but they know that the other kids get it. So, for example, we just had the Hanukkah camp, and there was a girl, a counselor, was walking around like at 1 in the morning, and he found this girl. She was just singing, and he started talking to her, and she said that she doesn't usually sing, that she's embarrassed to sing, and she'll only sing at Camp Kobe. And then she said, because I have two lives. I have my life at Camp Kobe, and then I have my life that's not Camp Kobe. So It's just a place where they're free.
It must be an unbelievable place. Sherry Mandel is 2004 laureate of the National Jewish Book Award for The Blessing of a Broken Heart, which has been translated into 3 languages and adapted into a stage play. A pastoral counselor, she's lectured around the world about grief and resilience. Also author of Writers of the Holocaust and has written for numerous magazines and journals and currently blogs at the Times of Israel. The brand new book, Toby Press Release, part of the Koren Publishers family, is Sherry Mandel's book, The Road to Resilience, From Chaos to Celebration. As you mentioned, this is not just for those who have suffered specific episodes or trauma. Anybody who feels they need a little bit of a boost finds themselves in a little bit of a rut can certainly utilize your steps, your advice, to get back to themselves, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's the 7 spiritual steps of resilience. Resilience is usually thought of as a psychological process, and what I do is sort of redefine it as a spiritual process, and more specifically, a Jewish process.
Sherry, continued success. Good luck with the book, with the camp, and with your mission and your message. It's amazing what you do for so many thousands, and it's always an honor to speak with you.
Thank you very much, and amen.
Sherry Mandel, The Road to Resilience, From Chaos to Celebration, TobyPress.com, TobyPress.com for all the information. Of course, a division of Koren Publishers, and yet another great offering from Sherry Mandel that we're proud to present here at the Nahum Segal Network. Check us out on Facebook, Nahum Segal Network, on Twitter at Nahum Segal Net, on Instagram, Nahum Segal Network. Check out the website, Koren Publishing, Koren Publishers, rather, Koren Publishers, KorenPub.com, Koren, KorenPub.com, for all the information about all their works. And of course, you'll find this one, The Road to Resilience by Sherry Mandel, at TobyPress.com as well. You are listening to Buy the Book, and this is the Nahum Segal Network.